This Week in America with Rick Bratton. Issues that matter to you. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Is clutch performance a fluke? Are we born able to perform when the stakes are high? Our guest on today's This Week in America says no. He's Paul Sullivan, author of the bestseller Clutch, Why Some People Excel Under Pressure and Others Don't. The good news is, with focus and discipline, among other traits, he says we all can work better under pressure. He interviewed star performers from across a range of fields, from sports to business, military, and real life. And he shares the traits that define clutch performers. He'll also explain why some of us buckle under pressure. And later on This Week in America, family law issues with attorney Michael Douglas. Is Tiger Woods clutch? That's next on This Week in America.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for joining us This Week in America on the Blue Funk Broadcasting Radio Network. As mentioned, the bestseller Clutch, Paul Sullivan, our guest on the program. The book is Clutch, Why Some People Excel Under Pressure and Others Don't. Paul, welcome to This Week in America. Great to have you with us on the program.
Hi, Rick. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's our pleasure. And let's start off by defining what clutch is. A lot of people think of clutch only in sports terms, and you talk about a lot of sports in the book, but you talk about other non-sports applications as well. Just what is clutch? How do you define it?
Yeah, I mean, clutch to me, and I say it repeatedly in the book to really emphasize it, is the ability to do what you can do under normal conditions, under pressure. And you're right, I do talk in several chapters about sports, about some baseball, about some golf, but the key to me in writing this book was to take a term that most people have a familiarity with, clutch, you know, and remove it from the sporting realm and show how people can be clutch in business, in the military, in acting, in parenting, and all these things that we have to do in our life that, you know, frankly, unless we're professional athletes, is much more important to us.
Well, and you talk in the beginning, you set up some great moments in sports, and you're talking about when you go through these, it's like, okay, how many of those would you consider clutch? Because some really weren't clutch. We confuse luck with clutch.
Yeah, and you know, I did it that way on purpose because these are, you know, the four moments are when Johnny Havlicek steals the ball in the 1965 Eastern Conference Basketball Championships. The second is, you know, Kirk Gibson hitting the home run in the 88 World Series.
Yes.
Most of us know him limping around the base. The third is Eli Manning in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. And the last one is Roger Federer at Wimbledon last year. And every sports fan would say, these are all great sports moments. And I'd say more than that, you know, some of them are really etched in, or all of them are etched into our romantic imagination. But, you know, I've already taken a lot of flack for this, and I feel a bit like, you know, the guy who tells the little kid that there's no Santa Claus. But the first two aren't. Havlicek stealing the ball and Gibson hitting the home run. They're not clutch moments. They're wonderful sports moments, but there's an incredible element of luck to both of them. Havlicek could have very easily missed the ball because had his back to the guy inbounding the pass. And Gibson, if he had hit the ball anywhere in the park other than out of the park, he barely would have made it to first base because he was limping. And people forget, but he was facing Dennis Eckersley, a future Hall of Fame pitcher, so no slouch there. But the other two are clutch because, you know, particularly if we think of, you know, Eli Manning in that Super Bowl, and he was facing Tom Brady of the Patriots, but Brady in Super Bowls past, you know, they weren't relying on a Hail Mary pass to win. They were strategically working the ball down the field. And that's something, you know, those great quarterbacks could do under normal conditions. But in the pressure, in the Super Bowl, that's about as much pressure as you can get. And they were able to continue to do that, continue to work the ball down the field under all of this pressure. And, you know, in Manning's case, you know, won the Super Bowl.
You've said that when you were a child, you really were not clutch when it came to sports, but you were clutch in other aspects of your life and grew up in a tough neighborhood, got out, became successful, and you considered, okay, I may not be clutch in sports, I may not make the game-winning free throw, but I was clutch in life growing up because I was able to get out of that circumstance.
Yeah, I mean, the fifth chapter in my book, it looks at the trait I call, you know, the push and pull of fear and desire, and many friends who've read it can see a lot of my life in that. And essentially, you know, my parents divorced when I was young. They had a horrible divorce, and they spent a lot of time not liking each other. And we lived in a pretty crummy neighborhood, and it was my grandfather who said, look, you know, you can sort of bemoan the fact that your parents are divorced and that you live in a crummy neighborhood, or we can try to do something about that. And I applied to the local prep school and got a scholarship. And, you know, from an early age, I realized I didn't really have a plan B. I had to keep going forward. And the pressure was always on because, you know, if I failed, I didn't have anything to go back to. I didn't have, you know, a parent who could subsidize me in any way. And it continued through my life. And you know, through my career, I became a journalist. I now write a column for the New York Times. And, you know, being a reporter, you're always on deadline, and there's always that pressure to succeed and to excel. But, you know, to kind of lighten this story, because I don't, you know, it's not it's a very constructive book, I think. You know, I do leaven it a bit by telling about my travails on the golf course. And this is something that... my grandfather and I, we played a lot of golf together with, you know, the public courses around where I grew up, and we just had a fantastic time. And I got to be, you know, pretty good, or so I thought, you know, a single-digit handicap, you know, regularly shooting the 70s. And then I'd enter tournaments, and invariably, I wouldn't, you know, be off by a couple strokes. I'd be off by 10, 15 strokes, and it just would, if it was a two-day tournament, it would just snowball, and it frustrated me. And, you know, then in my life, I've been fortunate to get invited to some nice country clubs to be a guest. And, you know, I have all of these memories of not the beautiful club or the beautiful course where I was playing, but of me, you know, rolling the ball off the first tee, or me, you know, hitting it out of bounds. And that, you know, as I thought about myself in writing this book, I mean, that became important because I want to convey to people that you can become better under pressure. You can, you know, excel, and vice versa. You know, just because you're great in one area of your life under pressure doesn't mean that's going to translate to others.
Well, you've got a great chapter in here, by the way. You're listening to This Week in America on the Blue Funk Broadcasting Radio Network. Special guest is Paul Sullivan, author of the new book, Clutch, Why Some People Excel Under Pressure and Others Don't. Our website is thisweekinamerica.us. You can log on, link on to Paul's site and get all the information on the book, or go directly to clutchthebook.com. Tiger Woods is an interesting study. When you interviewed him as you're preparing the book, everything was going great. Looked like this guy was certainly clutch when it came to sports. And then we find out not necessarily clutch in other aspects of his life.
That's absolutely right. That's a kind way to put it. But yeah, when I sat down one-on-one with Tiger in the fall of 2008, shortly after he won the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines, and it was known because afterwards he came out and said, you know, he had needed to have major knee surgery, and it's become a legendary victory because the pain was so great, and he made, you know, shot after shot under tremendous pressure to win. And so I was quite excited to sit down with him because, you know, he was, in my mind, one of the most, you know, clutch athletes of all time, you know, in 2008. But as everything unfolded, you know, 3 days before I turned my book in, I see the AP story saying, you know, Tiger has crashed his car, and I think, oh my God, you know, what has happened to him? And as everything unfolds, you know, to be quite honest, I had a very selfish reaction. I thought, oh no, this guy was the first chapter in my book.
Well, yeah, that would be the first thing. I mean, yeah, that would only be normal. Like, oh my God, what do I do now?
Right, exactly. And I said, well, I guess he's not going to be the first chapter. but fortunately, books take a long time to be published, and so I was able to, you know, I watched him over those 3 or 4 months before he finally came out and did that very public mea culpa. And in the course of that, to me, or at least for the purposes of this book, he became a much more interesting figure. And I say that because, you know, to get my 14-minute interview with him, I had to jump through all kinds of hoops. You know, I had to have 2 useless interviews with his best friend. I had to have, you know, 2 useless interviews with his agent at IMG. I had to, you know, withstand the withering stares of his head of PR in the actual interview room. And
wow.
As I thought about this, all the hoops I had to jump through, I said, you know, this is a classic scenario for why somebody would choke in their personal life, in any aspect of life, because they're so insulated. I mean, these guys weren't giving him any information. They were, you know, making him feel great about his decisions. And I say in the book that the 3 qualities of people who choke under pressure are: they don't accept responsibility for their actions, they're overconfident, and they overthink their position or their role in society. And those 3 months after Tiger crashed his car and all of these stories came out, I mean, he fulfilled all 3 of those qualities.
Well, you also mentioned the people that he surrounded himself with, those that were the gatekeepers, the primary gatekeepers, weren't necessarily the best at what they were going to do anyway. So he really didn't have professional people that were helping him.
Now, they're horrendous, and the one who stands out...
Once again, I was being very kind.
Yeah, the one that really stands out is Glenn Greenspan, and that's the head of sort of public relations for Tiger. And for people, for golfers, Glenn Greenspan became known as, you know, Dr. No at Augusta National. And
yeah, with women.
Exactly. Martha Burke wanted to get women admitted to Augusta, and essentially Greenspan's job was to go out there and say no. Well, if you're Augusta National, whatever we may think about the policy, if you're Augusta National, you can get away with that because people are still going to want to play your course. Professional golfers are still going to show up for your tournament, and you know they only need three sponsors to put the Masters on, so they're going to find them somewhere. It's easy to say no, but when you're doing PR for, you know, not just, I mean, Tiger wasn't a person at that time. He was a brand. He was a $1 billion brand. You can't expect, you know, the golf press may be deferential to you, but the press in general and public opinion is certainly not. I mean, they want an explanation. They want to know what's going on. And if you don't do that, if you don't handle the crisis, you know, what's going to happen is exactly, you know, what happened to Tiger. A very bad situation became horrendous.
You know, in the book Clutch, by the way, Paul Sullivan, our guest on the program, Clutch is the name of the book, Why Some People Excel Under Pressure and Others Don't. A great chapter on Tiger, and pick up the book and read it, because you also saw some other weaknesses as you were writing the book before this whole thing came tumbling down, that in business he really wasn't clutch and didn't have the successes. But pick up the book Clutch and you can find that. There were so many key moments as you read the book, so many things that's like, okay, I need to remember this. And maybe the one that stood out most for me was non-sports. It was a military officer who basically said, fight the fight, don't fight the plan. Explain that, because that's something all of us need to keep in mind.
Yeah, in the course of this book, my wife had our first daughter, and that became, that's been my motto for the past year, fight the fight, don't fight the plan. But what it meant is, you know, I spent a lot of time up at West Point, and that quote comes from Colonel Tom Colditz, who is the head of the behavioral science department up there. And you know, when people ask me, you know, who was the best, all the different people you interviewed in this book, you know, bankers, lawyers, actors, military people, sports figures, who was the best under pressure? And I said, that's quite simple. It's the military people. And they said, why? I said, well, because for them, it's life or death. If they're in combat, I mean, there's no gray zone. And what, you know, Colonel Colditz does, and this motto is so key to it, is he teaches the cadets to plan as much as they possibly can, to do every bit of research they can, to have everything perfect. And then West Point has instituted a group called the Red Team. And the Red Team comes in, and their job is to essentially pick apart that plan. So at that point, they've tested this plan as well as they possibly can. Then they go into battle, and they see what happens. And they all know that that plan is going to change. And that's the key to this. When you can craft your plan, it can be the best plan in the world, but you cannot ever fall in love with your plan, because under pressure, circumstances we could have never imagined crop up. And you know, when you're in the Army, when you're, you know, a West Point graduate and you're leading a platoon, you have to keep that goal in mind, that fight. You have to fight that fight. If you get wedded to your plan, it just, the outcome could be really, really disastrous. I mean, people could die.
In the book Clutch, you go through basically five principles, clutch performance principles, and we got about 2 minutes left, maybe not time to really talk about this, but being is one that's important, and you use an example of an actor that most people probably never heard of, Larry Clark, but there are a couple of examples how important that is. One, he's trying out for a Vegas review, he's a little bit cocky, he's not prepared, and he didn't get it. Talk about that, and then his experience on Law & Order.
Yeah, Larry Clark's a great character actor, and was just immensely talented as a kid going through theater school, everything, and he landed roles very easily. But as he told me, he started to get lazy. He started to sort of dream of the glory before he'd actually achieved it. And at the time, he was bussing tables, and he got the chance to audition for a Las Vegas review. It was going to pay him $5,000 a week at a time when he was making a couple $100 a week. And he waltzed in there as if he was just going to get it. And of course he didn't. You know, he totally flubbed it. He hadn't, you know, sung with a piano in years. It was awful. But it got him thinking about his profession in a much better way, and it got him to be much more present in what he was doing. Instead of thinking of the glory and also instead of, you know, worrying about the failure, he focused on what was going on. And when he landed this role in Law & Order, he had a recurring role for years and years and years as Detective Morris Lamont, he learned all of his lines and he was ready and he was a pro, but he got on set and he looked around. That was when, you know, Ben Bratt was one of the stars.
Right.
These were his heroes. And he totally froze. And he'd never done this before with a camera right next to him. And he started mumbling his lines. And the director called him out and said, you know, what do you know your lines? Tell me your lines right now. And he did. And you know, in the end, he pulled it off and he was called back and he got better and better and better. But he realized that he had never been in that situation before, that he had practiced in the wrong way. He had just learned his lines at home and he never had any real practice with the camera on. And I know we're running short on time, but a great takeaway for this is so many people have to give presentations. And, you know, they call it stage fright for a reason. They get up there, they see the crowd, they get nervous, they start flubbing their lines. They start thinking of everything other than what they should be thinking about, which is giving the best speech they can. And that's what being present is. It's getting yourself to a point. It's the fourth trait. So you got to go through the first three first, but it's the fourth trait to getting yourself to that place where you can, you know, block everything else out and know, hey, I am the expert on this subject. I'm going to talk about it, and I'm going to give the best speech that I can, regardless of what happened. And that's what Larry Clark learned from that day in Law & Order, and he's gone on to have a wildly successful career as an actor.
The stories in the book Clutch are entertaining. They're also very informative, and as you're reading it, you're thinking, okay, I can easily adapt what Paul is saying to my life. These are things that I could do better. These are things that I'm not doing now. The book is called Clutch, Paul Sullivan, the author. Clutch, Why Some People Excel Under Pressure and Others Don't. His website is clutchthebook.com. You're listening to This Week in America on the Blue Funk Broadcasting Radio Network. All the information on the book and Paul available at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We'll be right back.